the biggest nook has to be Washington, D.C. Each and every show, we go inside the Beltway. Ellen Ratner from Talk Radio News joins us. Ellen, it was all about Obama calling about calling for reducing the deficit by $4 trillion. What did he say as far as how he intends for that to happen or thinks it should happen?
Well, he intends to do it by making sure that the Bush tax cuts are rescinded, by closing the loopholes on the corporate tax cuts. All of that will be happening.
And so I can imagine that the Republicans went crazy over that, right?
The Republicans went completely nuts. And in fact, Paul Ryan, who, as you know, is doing the budget resolution, which is really the outline of how the budget is going to look in 2012, said, we need leadership. Rather than bridge building, he is poisoning wells.
Poisoning wells. Okay. So
that is what Paul Ryan, Congressman Paul Ryan, or Chairman Paul Ryan, is saying about the President of the United States.
Wow. So do you think, in listening to what Obama said and then the Republicans countering, you know, still what happened last week and the government not shutting down, that still has to go through the political hoops. Do you think there's any chance that that doesn't happen at the end of the week? Because we're already, we have 2 days left, basically.
Well, I think that tomorrow is the vote on the budget to keep it till the year till the end of September. And that's the 2011 budget. And then the budget outlines, which begin in October 1st, or the new budget, but the budget outlines really due by the 15th, they are probably also going to have a vote on that tomorrow.
Mm.
Now, the debt ceiling limit, that they may not deal with until after they come back from the Easter recess.
All right, so we'll mark that on our calendars. That's what they were saying earlier. Let's go to something completely different. I know that we're going to be talking about this a lot during the show tonight, folks. But the Ivory Coast, the president said no impunity for the Ivory Coast. But what does that mean? Translate that for us.
I don't really know what it means. I do know that the president spoke to the new president of the Ivory Coast, the elected president, and talked about the fact that they need to have hold people accountable who made violence on either side, even if it was in this president's favor.
All right, so either side accountable.
Either side accountable, as well as the Truth and Reconciliation Commission for Ivory Coast.
Yeah, all right. So moving from that to something I think that people will find intriguing that you mentioned to me off the air, what's the scoop on the White House visitors log? I thought that this was a transparent administration.
Well, it is a transparent administration, except when it isn't. And I think that what they're finding is that there are some people that came, Bob Dylan, better known as Robert Zimmerman, and those people somehow didn't show up in the visitors' logs. And they are saying that there are several people that did not show up. They know they're there, and they want to know why they did not show up in the visitors' logs. You know, we have a joke in the White House press corps. We say, if they say that they are going to be the most ethical administration, that was Clinton. He certainly wasn't. They say they're not going to do nation building. That was Bush. He did nation building. They say they're going to be the most transparent. It's Obama. And they're not the most transparent. It's just what they say they do, you got to look at the opposite.
That's right. Read between the lines. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News, thanks so much. All right, continuing with what we were talking about with Ellen, inadequate, inaccurate, and boring. That's some of what came out of the president's press conference / address. This really was like a press conference, but okay, address on the deficit and the proposal to slash $4 trillion in 12 years. He is taking a page out of the same playbook that everybody else who has come up with a proposal has, and that's to punt it down the road. In 12 years, president won't be in office, even if he were to be elected for a second term. And it's the same thing that we've seen from a few of the other budget slashing deficit ideas, that it's easy to say, it'll be, you know, we'll do it this year and that year, and we'll go through the steps, and then by 12 years, we'll be done with it. So, boring was VP Joe Biden, by the way, who fell asleep. Oh, yeah. That right-hand man, it's not good when the right hand falls asleep. I mean, I've been there, Joey. I know what it's like. I've had to do it in meetings where your eyeballs are basically propped open. But it's not good when it's the president talking about money, especially a president who wants to be reelected. It made me think, do you think the wingman is Joe Biden the second time around? I know he wants to be. I think they'll just go with Joe Biden. Inaccurate and inadequate, that came from Republicans' mouths. You'll hear that later this hour. John Boehner had some things to say. Eric Cantor had some things to say, both of them using the I words, inadequate and inaccurate. In the meantime, as this business of the dead and Obama's speech and the back and forth over what he's proposing, while all of that was going on, Donald Trump was holding sort of one of his own mini press conferences or addresses. He's now saying to OPEC, oil should be $40 to $50 a barrel, not $150. And the reason I bring this up right from the top of the show, right from the get-go, is because coming up later this hour, we're going to have an interesting conversation with Dan Kish, and he's with the Institute for Energy Research. He's one of the VPs there. He's going to talk about kind of what Trump is taking a snap at, talking about how 9 million people could be at work in the oil industry, and while the president is in Brazil and we're not drilling, we're paying more for oil that we could actually pay less for, because we all know this. We definitely have the oil capacity. Yes, we get a big chunk of oil from Canada. In fact, we get the most from Canada. But we still are putting ourselves in a position to have to rely on sources that aren't reliable. Why do we want to be beholden to Hugo Chavez? Makes no sense to me. We don't. So the problem comes from not drilling in the United States in places, especially where you know you're away from, let's say, humanity. No more oil is a flat-out lie, and we'll talk about that coming up. Also, oh, we have a big giveaway. I think I hear barking dogs somewhere. Do I hear a barking dog? I know we have a barking dog in this studio. I'm certain of it. I have a barking dog. There he is. Wonder what kind of dogs they were. If you go to americatonight.net, hello, you can see me because we actually have a webcam. I just wanted to let everybody know that. If you have no interest in looking at me on the webcam, that's cool too. But I'm giving away a book that I can describe on the air for everybody listening in Radio Land. It's called Your Dog, The Owner's Manual, Hundreds of Secret Surprises and Solutions for Raising a Happy, Healthy Dog. Why? Because this guy is so good. I think he's going to take the place of the dog whisperer. His name's Dr. Marty Becker. You might have seen him on Good Morning America or the Dr. Oz show. When you hear those dogs barking again at some point in this hour, if you're the first caller through at 800-259-2791, we will send you this book. Stay with us. More reaction to the prez next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
The answer to the $10,000 question of when did we have a balanced budget in the past, a truly balanced budget. I know I said this maybe 5 months ago on the show, but we all have the short-term memory disease, so I'm going to repeat it. You have to go back to Eisenhower. You have to go back to Eisenhower for a balanced, a truly balanced budget. Wow. There are no words for that. Spend, 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 spend. So the Prez decides he's going to propose cutting the budget deficits, which he should address that. He's the president. Everybody's swimming in a sea of red, as it were. And $4 trillion over 12 years, those are the numbers you need to know. $4 trillion, 12 years. And he called for Democrats and Republicans to play in the same playground. In other words, to address what's going on fiscally. So Republicans took some swacks. Democrats took some swings for a couple of different things in what he was proposing. A lot of it has to center around taxes. And ending the Bush-era tax rates for the wealthiest Americans, he said, meaning for me and for Warren Buffett and others. He sort of threw himself into that group. Also, curbing the deficits, these are just some of the broad strokes that were thrown out. Curbing the deficits, 2.5% of the GDP in 2015. That's 2% toward the end of the decade. Saving $480 billion in Medicare and Medicaid by 2023. It's just so far down the road. And $1 trillion by 2033. I'm trying to add up how old I'm going to be then. So Obama is trying to gain some of his own momentum in jumping into the whole spending debate thing. Because, you know, the administration accused of spending, 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 which, of course, they have done. They're not the only administration to do that. And they're just picking up the ball and running with it, but really, really running with it. However, he's trying to circle back and come around the whole spending issue to not look bad on that. Like, all we do is spend. So here specifically, because there were a lot of things he said in the time that he was, I'll say, mic'd up. The two of the things he talked about, basically, there was no option, real option, in just sitting on our hands and not doing anything. Duh, winning. We all know that, right? And then he talked about the partisan thing, the common ground. We keep going back to that common ground, common ground, common ground. But anyway, Mr. President, in your own words.
I'm sure the criticism of what I've said here today will be fierce in some quarters, and my critique of the House Republican approach has been strong. Americans deserve and will demand that we all make an effort to bridge our differences and find common ground. Doing nothing on the deficit is just not an option. Our debt has grown so large that we could do real damage to the economy if we don't begin a process now to get our fiscal house in order.
Okay, so it's that whole little bit too late thing. We know the numbers. The debt is supposed to hit $14.3 trillion, the ceiling, probably mid-May, maybe a little bit, maybe beginning of June, but I'll say mid-May. And if we don't lift it, in other words, if we default on that debt, we could, of course, send the financial markets crashing. There's a guy I've watched on the tube a lot. He's on CNBC. I watched some of their shows, Fast Money, and some of the updates and whatnot to get a handle on stocks and commodities. And I have been watching it for some time. And a guy that comes on a lot is Jamie Dimon. He's the chief executive of J.P. Morgan. And he did a call with a whole bunch of reporters and said, in his opinion, it would be unwise to play with fire. Because here's the thing. It is true. And why do we always have to go back to this, though? The banks are too big to fail. If we don't raise the deficit ceiling, it'll be catastrophic for the United States because we'll actually default on our debt. And then where are we? And he's right. It is catastrophic to default on the debt. That would be like any of us doing it. It would be if we all did that. Hello, have you ever had a loan that you've had to pay back? Do you want to default on that loan, destroy your credit? You get it. And he's right. That's exactly what will happen. But why are we always backed into these corners? They had to know. I get it. I get that there was some borrowing. I understand that you're going to go into the till and you're going to go down the rabbit hole a little bit. But to the tune of the amounts that we're talking about so that we're in these positions, I have to think that all these many years, backing it up through different presidencies, there are smart people in the United States. We're a superpower. We have some of the biggest brains in the world within our borders. And you have to be kidding me that there weren't better solutions along the way instead of getting us in this position. To me, what it shows is power corrupts. And power mixed with politics and positions, it's all about helping your friends. You get to the big boys' table, that's what you're doing. Because how could these people not know alone? It's like the Secretary of Treasury, little Timmy Geithner. First of all, he shouldn't be in that position, given his ridiculous ties to Wall Street. But then you could go back to Alan Greenspan, the wise Buddha. But how wise was the Buddha? He was actually sinking our ship. And then he's done with the job, and he says a bunch of lousy things about the economy and tanks it on his words. And then there's Ben Bernanke. Let's stick with the current cast of characters. At the Federal Reserve, why is Bernanke in this position? Same problem. Look, everybody's entitled to make a few mistakes, but I just know that we have smarter, bigger, badder, more intelligent people, I know it, who really could solve these problems. They could. And they could distance themselves from the power scenario of, okay, I get into this spot and I'm going to take care of everyone and forget about the little people, forget about the middle class, forget about what really needs to happen. So the president comes out with the $4 trillion cut in the deficit, and boy, it wasn't just the Democrats and the Republicans who sounded the warning horns, who signaled them, I guess, basically, or blew them, whatever you want to say. Because now there's different ways with horns. Like at the fire, I was down at the fire station the other day, and I thought they pressed a button. They're like, press a button? What are you talking about? I didn't even know how the sirens went off. But and what one of the things that Obama said is that we would have to get rid of some military capabilities. That's what he called it. And he said scale back forces in order to carry out further defense cuts. So scale back forces. Where scale back forces? Now, I've said, why do we have all the troops that we have in Germany? I don't understand. Hitler's dead and gone. Germany seems to be doing well to me. Why are we there? What are we doing there? I understand about using it as a place where you're shipping off guys to other parts of the world. I understand that we could have a capability there because then you can get to places faster. But that many, you know, 50,000 soldiers? Yeah. So what, now Barack Obama is getting a clue on this? Why wasn't this done a long time ago, before this administration? So the Defense Secretary, Robert Gates, who is so ready for his gold watch, he just wants to go to Hawaii. I think he's done with all of this. He's saying that it's pretty clear that further defense cuts can't be accomplished without reducing force structure and the capability of what we can do. He said that's what we're talking about. We can't do that. So $400 billion on security spending by 2023. Well, I guess that means that other countries can't get a ride on our Tomcat missiles, and then it all ends in a stalemate and becomes part of a NATO tussle that we're sort of still involved, and we're going to wait and see what happens, and there's pressure being put on Gaddafi. Yeah. How long has that now been? How much money did we piddle away there? All right, that's my venting for this hour, sort of. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to have a conversation with Dan Kish, Institute for Energy Research, on the oil lies, things you might not know. Hang with us.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste. digest, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com. The U.S. economy is at a tipping point. 40 cents of every dollar the government spends is borrowed. The president of the Federal Reserve in Dallas was recently quoted saying, "This path will lead to insolvency, resulting in the collapse of our government and our economy. Our country can't function like this, and neither can your household. That's why you need to prepare, and priority one is your food supply. Fortunately, it's easy and affordable with the help of Ready Reserve Foods. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storable foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available. With a 25-year shelf life, a full year supply of quality food for two people costs a fraction of what you pay at the grocery store. For a free, full-color catalog, call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Ready Reserve Foods, making preparedness simple since 1972.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Welcome back to America Tonight. You know, the president's speech is what we've been talking about. Deficit reduction. He said $4 trillion, but what does that mean over 12 years? The energy people were concerned as to what was going to happen there, where the axe was going to land. Would it be heavy taxation on the oil industry? Would that be the big fat solution to the rising energy costs, by the way? And would that be a big piece of what he would talk about earlier in the day? It turned out that wasn't so much of it. There were really broad strokes, but ultimately you got to figure it may work its way in there. Dan Kish joins us. He's with the Institute for Energy Research. Dan is the VP of Policy. Dan, thanks so much for hanging with us on ATM. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
First of all, just your anticipation. You know how that is, like I said, with broad strokes. When we're talking about budgets and deficits and solutions, there always seems to be things that sneak in there that you didn't realize that, oh, yeah, this is ultimately coming around. And I heard that there was going to be a big axe that would go toward the oil industry or actually an increase as far as taxation.
Yeah, I mean, that's been pretty consistent for in each of his budgets, Kate. He has proposed what he defines it differently. He says he's going to take away tax subsidies. And says that those folks are doing just well and just fine right now and don't need tax subsidies. But we all know from paying at the pump that the price of energy has been hiked. But the fact is, the reason their profits are so big is because the product that they sell, it's the sales. As a percentage, their profits aren't nearly as large as pharmaceutical companies, banks, your normal industry, but it takes a lot of money to find more oil to go out there and drill. What the president has been doing is taking money out of the treasury and putting it into, from our perspective at IER, what he's doing is basically what Ronald Reagan referred to as the government's approach to life, which was if it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. And if it stops moving, subsidize it. And that's what he's been doing with energy. And Congress has not passed those increases because ultimately those are going to be passed on to the consumers. The last thing that consumers need right now is a tax that theoretically is pointed at energy companies that they end up paying, because that's who ultimately pay taxes anyway.
Yeah, and explain that too, because if you, and you did it there somewhat when you were talking about what happens when you pull up at the pump and you don't realize about, yeah, the profits look so big, and they do, because they come out and everyone says, oh, they're just, it's terrible. How can that be? And look what's happening to the rest of us. That's why we're paying so much at the pump. But it's not really defined, and that's the truth of it. It really is. There are a lot of things that people don't realize, including if you look at what's happening with oil, and you could explain this better than I can, but the increase of imports of oil from these nations, what we'll call hostile nations, when you look at especially the Middle East, that means you're going to pay more at the pump, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess the problem is that this is coupled with a number of moves that they've taken to reduce production of energy here at home. Kate, in the United States, there are over 9 million people, men and women, involved in the petroleum industry, oil and gas. It's the, you know, if you heat your home with natural gas, there are people out there drilling wells, building pipelines, transporting that to make sure that the heat is on. The same thing with drilling. I mean, 95% of the wells drilled in the United States are drilled by small independent companies, not big oil, because in reality, big oil gets a huge proportion of its oil from foreign countries rather than producing it here in the United States. And part of the reason they do that is because it's easier to get easier to get permission to drill in other countries. And as the president demonstrated in Brazil a couple weeks ago, he went down there and asked them to continue drilling and will buy their oil, and yet we've got tens of thousands of people out of work in the Gulf of Mexico right now waiting to go back to work because the government had a moratorium.
Yeah, so as you said, when you look at the industry, 9 million people, 95% with the drilling, smaller companies, facts that are never really released, couple that with the president's trip to Brazil, which we did talk about on America Tonight. And it's like he's talking out of, I have to say, it's like he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. It sounds good when he's making the speech and people don't understand, and he keeps pounding that point home. But ultimately, that's when you peel away the layers, it's not really true when you look at the statistics, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, we have a lot of energy. One of the mistaken things that people have been led to believe in the United States is that we don't have any more oil, and that's why we have to stop using it or buy it from foreign countries or whatever. But the truth is, Kate, we have enormous amounts. The Congressional Research Service recently released a report that said the United States has more energy resources available to it than any other country in the world.
So if we were able to go after those resources, it would be, I would assume, cheaper for folks that are listening to the show tonight.
Oh, not just that, Kate, but what it would result in is a lot of Americans getting jobs and good jobs by producing. Let's think about it. If we're spending $100 a barrel and sending it to foreign countries, and we're spending $300 or $400 billion of Americans' money per year on buying that foreign oil when we could be producing it here at home. That means that $300 or $400 billion a year would be employing Americans, putting our people to work instead of people in other countries, and we'd be the beneficiaries. That money would roll around in our economy instead of going over there. And that's the real key. Not only would we get the energy benefit of having, you know, less dependency on other places, but it would also increase supplies, dropping the price, and then more Americans would have good jobs producing it. So or somewhere through the chain, you know, whether they're working in a shop making pipes or whatever it is that go to this very capital-intensive industry that keeps all our lights on, keeps us moving, and all the rest. So that's the real key. And to the extent we want to increase taxes on our own companies here at home, it means we'll get less here at home and we'll buy more from foreign countries. That makes no sense.
Yeah, and it doesn't make any sense to me either. And I even saw something that the Petroleum Institute did last year on the, and it's what you're talking about, it's the same thing, on raising taxes, what ultimately happens too, you're just killing the domestic product by a crazy number. We just didn't say the number, it was like 700,000 barrels of oil a day or something by 2020. That's a staggering number, I think.
Oh, yeah, and it just means, and here's the key, when we kill that amount of oil here in the United States, we just import that amount of oil from foreign countries. We, in essence, stop paying Americans to work to make that oil, and we instead pay foreigners to make that oil and bring it in. And if they happen to not like us, then we have the additional expenses related to defense expenditures to ensure that our sea lanes are open and all the rest. It simply makes sense. There's nothing wrong with free trade. And, for example, we get a lot of oil from Canada. It's our number one supplier of imported oil. I'm not worried about Canada, and I don't think most Americans are. They're our friends. But to the extent we're getting it from Hugo Chavez and places that don't like us in the Middle East, it simply complicates life, especially when we have an abundance of it here at home that we could be using to add value to our economy instead of sending that abroad and then wondering why millions of people are out of work.
Yeah, no kidding. But when we started talking at the very beginning of this about, you know, the prices at the pump and how they would go up and whatnot, where do you think, because this is what you do and you look at the numbers and you talk to the people in the oil industry and all that, where do you think oil will be by the end of the year if we continue down these roads? I mean, are we going to see like European prices? What happens if it hits $5 for a gallon of regular? I think people will go crazy. What do you think?
I think if it hits $5, I think it's already hurting, Kate. I don't think Washington understands. You'll hear a lot of talking heads talk about how, well, it can go a little higher. There's a lot of people in the United States who absolutely have to use their cars or trucks for their jobs and their transportation, their family duties and obligations and the like. And the idea that it's going to $4 a gallon or is that already at $4 a gallon is already taking money out of people's pockets that they use to buy other things. That's going to hurt the overall economy. The idea that somehow driving up the price of energy will force people to use less, and that's a good thing, is not a good thing. We use energy to make our lives better, and this whole idea that energy is a bad thing and has to be avoided and therefore making it more expensive is simply historically and economically incorrect. And ultimately, if it gets to $5, people are going to go crazy. I'm going to go crazy myself.
I agree, because the average – I read something the other day, and I've said this too before, that the average commute for a lot of people's – Dan, is like 45 minutes each way. So how are they going to get around that? How do you get around that? The carpooling thing doesn't work because people have crazy hours that don't match up with the person that sits next to them.
Exactly. Affordable energy gives us the freedom to be able to move where we want, when we want it. And no amount of central planning from Washington is going to make up for the fact that when you have an obligation you can go to your car and get in it and go and don't have to, line up somewhere. And that's the way Americans, that's the way we roll, if you will.
We're not Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
We're not Europe.
And the transportation
is different.
And I'm
glad we're not.
Yeah, and the transportation is different in every city. Dan Kish, Institute for Energy Research. Dan, thanks so much for joining us on ATN.
You feel.
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack.
Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $220. And the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com. Today.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Keep the lady hanging out with all of you across this great nation and beyond our borders. Hope you're having a great week. If you're not, oh, it's almost the weekend. See, it's that positioning in your head. You got to turn it around. So they're talking about passing this debt limit increase. And it's, you know, we keep talking about money. So I don't want to end this show on the debt and what the president said and all that stuff. So let's just clean it up quickly here. The Treasury Secretary, Little Tim, said that Congress is going to allow the country to borrow more by agreeing to increase the debt limit. Great. And that, yeah, Congress is going to pass this increase in the debt limit. They have to do it. Republicans are saying, get out of here. Why don't you go skiing or pound sand? We're not going to raise the debt ceiling without some reforms to government spending. So it's more maneuvering. And you're going to start to hear scary words like we're on the brink, a catastrophe, we're screwed, the financial markets will collapse, all that sort of stuff. And sadly, it is the worst position to be in. It is. So we're going to default on all these loans. But why do we always have our backs against the wall? It's so convenient, isn't it? Because then it's easy to come out and say, okay, well, it's your choice. You know, here's what's going to happen if you don't vote in this direction. The banks are just too big to fail. AIG, the three dreaded letters. We can't let that happen. Not everybody was thrilled, by the way, with the president saying, okay, so we're going to get rid of $4 trillion over 12 years. And then a few of the finer points that he talked about, including new taxes and spending reductions in the tax code and all that sort of stuff. The Speaker of the House, John Boehner, never shy about sharing his opinion. A penny for your thoughts, Mr. Boehner.
not meeting our obligations, our debt obligations, is a very bad idea. And nobody wants to take that risk. I think the president heard us loud and clear. If we're going to resolve our differences and do something meaningful, raising taxes will not be part of that.
We can't tax the very people that we expect to reinvest in our economy and to create jobs. Washington has a spending problem, not a revenue problem.
So let's go to Tomas in Michigan. He's waiting in the wings. Yo, Tomas, you get the first word on this crazy budget nonsense, ridiculous stuff that we've been talking about ad nauseum. What's up?
Ad nauseum, yes. What a way to start off a conversation. So I heard that you were giving away a dog or something. If somebody could tell you the last year that the budget was in surplus.
You made that up, but okay.
I swear I heard it. Maybe, nah, because I wouldn't listen to anybody else. Well, anyway, just for giggles, but the last time that a president was balancing the budget on a consistent basis was Mr. Clinton. And you know how he did it, Kate? He attacked from both ends. Now, he had a Republican Congress in there. So they were doing their best to cut spending, and he, of course, was raising taxes. And guess what? Boom, they had a balanced budget and a surplus, and, you know, it actually looked like the impossible was going to happen and we were going to pay off our entire national debt. But then, you know, 9/11 came, Bush came in, and everybody started spending money again and lowering taxes. So I think that the way you take care of this is you attack it from both directions. And, of course, the Republicans out there say, no, we're not going to raise any taxes. And, you know, I don't trust. I mean, I think if they took, like, blood samples of all the senators and congressmen, they would find a gene there that does not let them tell the truth for more than one election cycle.
Because they got to get elected. That's it. You got to feed the people what they want. You've got to tell them everything they want to hear. It's what you got to do. It's just like you're on a date with a beautiful woman. You want to close the deal. You got to tell her what she wants to hear, right?
Oh no, I'm always about personality and character myself.
So spin.
Anyway. But anyway, the train just went doo-doo-doo right off the track on that one. So, you know, I mean, I could balance the budget in 1 year. I also heard on your radio station you were saying that, you know, we're all the smart and intelligent people in the country, so I definitely had to call in.
And volunteer.
You know, the Bush tax cuts, every year they would have saved $370 million. I would raise $400 billion in taxes, and then $700 billion I would cut. You know, 19% is what that comes out to. You cut 19%. Some people are cutting more than that. Some people are getting rid of the entire energy department or trying to get rid of the entire education department. It's doable, Kate. But you know what? Like we said before, you know, if you can get paid for doing something for 10 years, why, you know, just do it for 1 year?
Right.
That's
why the incentive isn't there. Absolutely. That's what the problem is. Yeah. And so now,
I don't either.
I mean, we've been saying that. We know that that's the problem. That's why I think from the get-go I was saying we need a third party or somebody different or whatever, because it's not working. Thanks, Tomas. So Tomas says, okay, so you gotta throw them both out there. If you want to be able to, raise taxes on the wealthy over some of the massive objections of the Republicans, then that's what you got to do. And he's right about the Clinton scenario, where he was able to do that with the taxes and through a couple of other means with programs too, and cutting and then using the taxes. But you know what the problem is with that, of course, is that the taxes, when you look at the businesses, if you go after businesses specifically, then where does that trickle down to? It trickles down to the little guy. It just does. Because how many small businesses do we have in this country? So when you're talking about revamping the tax code, all of that has to be wide open. I mean, let's hear what you mean when you say you want to revamp the tax code. So to me, the last guy who truly did it without a lot of pain, it was more about pleasure, was Eisenhower. He was really the guy that consistently was able to balance the budget. Okay, so remember, I think I hear some dogs. Our kennel is open. If you're the first caller in, do we have some dogs? Are there dogs in the back? There they are. They pay attention to me as much as Mahalo does. All right, so if you're the first person to call now, not somebody who's waiting to jump on, but if you're the first person to call at 800-259-5791, you get a copy of Your Dog, The Owner's Manual, hundreds of secrets, surprises, all that nonsense. Dr. Marty Becker, he's coming on the show. He's a really cool guy. He's been on a whole bunch of Tube, but I just like what he has to say. I think he's going to be a challenge for the dog whisperer. I mean, not to take anything away from Milan, not to take anything away from Cesar, but I think he's pretty good, too. Just he has some common sense things that people don't do. And you know, I like the whole, you know, I'm into the dog thing now. I never had a dog. Now I have Mahalo, so there's still some things I would like for Mahalo to learn. Quickly, I said that also, by the way, so 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. If you're the first person to call and say, I want the dog book, boom, first person in, you get it. I wanted to not just make everything about the budget, because there are a whole slew of things that I think are horrible that are going on that are worth shining a light on that you might have read maybe earlier in the day, or there's been conversations about it. We've talked about the TSA so much here. And there's a story, and I think all of you know, about the six-year-old girl who was patted down by the TSA, really patted down. They showed pictures of it. She was basically frisked. Kids are taught about the whole stranger danger thing and all that. And at six, you don't get it. You're thinking you did something wrong. So the Drexels, Selena and Todd, that's their name, they're trying to explain to their kid why that happened. I mean, kids get to take the shoes off and go through the tunnel thing and all of that. But the pat down that she got at the airport in New Orleans really shook her up. The kid just had no idea what was going on and thought that she had done something, and they didn't think it was going to happen, I'm certain. So they were stunned when it did, and they had a video of her going through the screening, and it's all over the internet. You can certainly find it, getting thousands of views on YouTube, and it shows the TSA agent rubbing the girl's thighs and running her fingers inside the top of her blue jeans, and oh, the poor kid, she just looks so shocked. I don't know, what could she possibly, you think she's going to blow up an airplane? What possibly could this child have had going on? You know, it's ridiculous. Stupid. It happened on April 5th, so now the TSA says they're going to review some of their procedures. Yeah. Give me a break. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net, through the website. You know how it goes.